We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It is 9:05 on this Wednesday morning. It's the 11th day of July here, 2018. I'm John Reed, and glad you're with us here for this final hour of Richmond's Morning News, our Ask the Governor segment, which takes place once a month. And we're fortunate to have Virginia's Governor Ralph Northam, continuing a long tradition of Virginia's chief executive, coming in here to the studio to take your phone calls and have a pretty candid conversation about a lot of the issues that face the state. And, you know, we're in the long summer season. The legislature's out of session, and maybe it'll be a little more relaxed than the last few times you've been with us. But Governor Northam, we're glad you're with us today.
It's good to be here, John, and I always enjoy being with you, and look forward to listening to your listeners' questions. But I appreciate them staying involved and knowing what's going on in the Commonwealth. It's very important.
Yeah, we've been soliciting calls throughout the morning telling folks that starting at 9 o'clock, you'd be here for a full hour. 345-1140. 345-1140 is the number to call if you would like to get something off your chest with the governor or ask a question, share your thoughts. Of course, I always ask you to keep it classy, the Virginia way. We can disagree and do so in a nice way on the air. And, you know, some people like to have confrontation on the show. You're welcome to ask a pointed question, but let's keep it the Virginia way. As a Richmond guy, that's what I like to do. You know what? We've got a bunch of calls that are stacked up, so do you mind if we go right to the callers?
Absolutely. That's
okay.
Great.
Debbie is holding. Debbie, you're on the air with Virginia's Governor Ralph Northam.
I'd like to thank both of you for accepting my telephone call.
Yes.
I'm calling in regards to a friend of mine who's currently being held at Augusta Correctional. And in September of 1999, he was sentenced to 47 years to prison. And I know the governor has the ability to commute the sentence. And I'm wondering how his case can be brought to the governor's attention.
Well, Debbie, I appreciate the question, and we do look at each case individually, and we have a parole board that is very good. And so if you went to the website, you know, for virginia.gov and just put in specifically that you wanted to inquire to the parole board, we would be glad to look at that case. So we look at literally hundreds of cases. Our Secretary of the Commonwealth oversees that, the pardoning, and brings cases to me. So I would encourage you to do that, and we'll be glad to try to help out in any way we can.
Is that how the process works? It starts with an inquiry to the parole board, and then they make a recommendation as to whether you and your office should look at it?
That's right, and then we look at each one individually.
Individually.
Yes,
that
sir.
Was a little point of contention for your predecessor.
Yes.
For the voting rights
now,
and the like. Yeah.
This may be a little bit different than restoration of voting rights, mm-hmm. but we obviously screen all those as well, but it's a little bit of a different process.
How has it worked for you in these first few months? Have you grappled with some of these cases so far in your first several months?
We have, and we have made some pardons, and they're different levels. They're also, as far as the restoration of rights, basically the way that works, we get a list at the end of each month of those that are eligible to have their rights restored, and, mm-hmm. and then we look at those and restore their rights if appropriate. So it's a good process, and you know, we have a Secretary of Commonwealth who's doing great work. She actually worked under Governor McAuliffe's administration as well, so she's very well versed. And also the parole board, they do mm-hmm. wonderful work, a lot of work, as you might imagine, to sift through each case individually, but that's the way we move forward with it.
Not to beat a dead horse, but is there a distinction between the way Governor McAuliffe handled this and the way you're handling it with the voting rights restoration? It sounds like there's a difference.
Well, it's very similar. I think there's just maybe a little bit more oversight. There were some cases that perhaps rights were restored, and that, you know, that with not enough oversight. So we're paying a little bit more attention, but it's a very similar process.
I see. All right, 345-1140, 345-1140. If you have a question that you'd like to ask Virginia's governor, Ralph Northam, Wayne is on the line. Wayne, you're talking to Governor Ralph Northam.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Mr. Governor. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Governor, I'm very concerned about this new, I guess it's new, application that you put out to where people who have children, have babies, can have an eight-week vacation right after the baby's born. Or is that staggered? Do they take 2 weeks when the baby's born and then 2 weeks and 2 weeks and then 2 weeks after that and 2 weeks after that? I just don't feel that. I just don't feel that it's right that the citizens of Virginia should pay for if it's Planned Parenthood or if it's by accident or whatever. I don't think we should have to pay for people to go on vacation for 8 weeks a year.
Right. Well,
because some people have three children right in a row, and so if you look at three or four children in a period of 4 years, somebody's taken 24 weeks vacation, and that's just wrong.
Wayne, I appreciate your question, and let me see if I can kind of put things in perspective for you. First of all, when a child is brought into the world, I think it is so important for both parents to be able to bond with that child and get off to a good start. So, you know, personally, as a pediatrician, I think that's a very important time. The other reality, Wayne, is that we compete at a state level for employees. We want to bring in talented individuals that can do the work of the Commonwealth and that we can retain them in our state agencies. And so this is a benefit that we thought was important to be able to compete with other companies. As you may or may not know, there are a lot of corporations and businesses that allow this to happen, within their administration. So it's a matter of, one, trying to do the right thing, and two, being able to retain and recruit talented people to work in our state agencies. And I will tell you, with an unemployment rate in Virginia, it's at 3.2% now. It's the lowest it's been in over 10 years. We're very proud of that. As a matter of fact, we were just named the number four state in the country in which to do business. So we're headed to number one, if I have anything to do with it. But we want to make sure that we're able to recruit talented people that will work in our state agencies and do the work of the Commonwealth. So a lot of thought went into that. I'm sure there are folks like you that perhaps don't agree with everything we do, but we thought it was in the Commonwealth's best interest to do that.
Well, Governor, let me follow up for Wayne. This is a new policy, correct? Just in the last few months, the legislature just passed this?
It is. Yeah, no, we did this via what we call executive order. I signed that. I think it's been about 2 weeks ago now. Did that, and we also signed another executive order at the same time to make sure that our employees had good child care, for their children when they're at work.
So, and is it 8 weeks? Is that an accurate number?
Yes, it is. And I think he made a point now that you've reminded me about staggering. You would have to take, or one would have to take, the 8 weeks at one time. Now, they have up to 6 months. They don't have to do it right after the child is born, but within the 6 months after a child is born. Also, if a family takes in a foster child or an adopted child, this would qualify as well.
What about his point about one baby 1 year and then another baby the next year and another baby the next year? Is there any limit to this?
No.
No?
If a family wants to...
If you're really eager...
start having children... as you know, the gestational period is 9 months.
Right.
So you could essentially have a child once a year if you chose to do that.
Okay. Well, after this has been in place for a couple of years, we'll ask you if there's been any serial births out there. Billy is holding on the line. Billy, you're on the air with Virginia's governor.
Good morning, Governor. Thank you for your time. I know you're a busy man.
No, I'm glad to serve the Commonwealth, Billy. I appreciate you calling in.
Yes, sir. I got a question for you. I know that Governor McCullough restored the rights, for convicted felons to be able to vote. Was the right to purchase and possess firearms restored at that time also?
I'm sorry, Bill, if you could repeat, was the right to do what?
Purchase and possess a firearm, because I know that, most cases convicted felons aren't allowed to own or purchase firearms. When he restored the rights to vote, were their rights to purchase and possess firearms restored also?
Great question, Billy. And the answer to that is not necessarily. And so it's a two-step process. We're able to, at the state level and as a governor, to restore one's right to vote, but I am not able to restore the rights to own and operate a firearm. That has to be done through a judge. And so once an individual has their voting rights restored, they would have to apply through the local judge to get that permission back. So it's a two-step process, and it actually, if there's an individual that the judge thinks shouldn't have a firearm, then they'll make that decision.
All right. Virginia Governor Ralph Northam in the studio for a full hour here. If you'd like to talk to him, 345-1140, 345-1140 is the number to call. When we come back, I'm going to ask the governor about his predecessor's tweet regarding the Supreme Court nominee from President Trump. We'll put the governor on the spot when we return here on News Radio WRVA. Here we are. We're back here on News Radio WRVA 920 on this Wednesday morning on our Ask the Governor program. Once a month, Virginia's governor joins us here live in the studio to take your phone calls, your questions, your comments at 345-1140, 345-1140. And we encourage you to call in and talk to Ralph Northam and share your thoughts on what's happening here in the Commonwealth. And before we took the break, Governor, I wanted to give you fair warning that I was going to put you on the spot and ask you for your reaction to your predecessor's tweet just minutes after President Trump announced his pick for the Supreme Court, Brett Kavanaugh. Terry McAuliffe, who is, you know, private citizen now, still an activist Democrat out there fundraising and the like, but he really ratcheted up the rhetoric, saying the nomination of Judge Brett Kavanaugh will threaten the lives of millions of Americans for decades to come and will morph our Supreme Court into a political arm of the right-wing Republican Party. Come on. Isn't that a little over the top, even for a friend of yours to say in this case?
Well, John, the decision of who's on the court is it can be very and it will be impactful for for decades, and so the process that I would at least advocate for is vetting this particular justice and asking him about issues that he's voted on or, made rulings on in the past and that will impact people's lives, such as LGBTQ rights, women's reproductive rights, voting rights, health care for Americans. And so that process will be ongoing, and I think the senators, those that so choose, will have the option of sitting down and interviewing him and asking him how he feels about these particular issues. And then at the end of the day, they're going to, make a decision whether they support him or not. So
have you made it? I know you're not voting on him, but have you made a decision whether you would publicly say this is a good choice or not?
Well, again, I would want to sit down and talk to the man and ask him how he feels about these particular issues. I think everybody deserves that right and that chance. But as we spoke earlier, it does impact people's lives. This is an important decision and not one that should be taken lightly. And, this is a decision for the Senate to make. And, of course, it's not anything that I have to do with it. But I would certainly say I would be concerned about some of the positions that he will take in the decades to come.
You're a little more diplomatic than your predecessor, but we appreciate that. All right, let's go to some of our callers. 345-1140 is the number to call if you'd like to talk to the governor. Perry is holding on the line. Perry, you're on the air with Ralph Northam.
Good morning, Governor. I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
When Secretary Nielsen's home was protested and picketed, this was a clear violation of Virginia law, specifically 18.2-419. Why weren't any of those protesters arrested? Are we going to allow this type of savagery to go on in the Commonwealth?
Well, I appreciate your question, Perry. And what one of the things that I have tried to advocate for and bring into Virginia is civility. And I obviously can't control everything that happens out there. We certainly have to protect the First Amendment. People have, right to voice their opinion. If someone is on someone else's property, obviously that's unlawful. So I would hope that the law enforcement folks take care of that. But overall, I would just ask all Virginians, all Americans, to kind of take a deep breath and relax and remember that, you know, we can agree to disagree, but we're all in this together. As a country, we have significant challenges. And for us to be divided, I know you've heard the saying that united we stand, divided we fall. I want to do everything I can to bring Virginians, in my case, but bring Americans together and really work together on these challenges. So, you know, these episodes that we see, whether they're in Virginia or across this country where people are uncivil, I just would discourage that and encourage us to work together and, again, to take a deep breath and remember the looking at the big picture, what we have to accomplish here in this country of ours.
You know, when you first came on, I brought up that at your inaugural ball that I attended, there were activists who protested your inaugural ball, and they were immigration activists who I thought probably you would agree with some of the things they were advocating. I thought it was weird that they protested your inaugural ball. And then, of course, this Red Hen story that came out in Lexington where the White House press secretary was asked to leave the restaurant. That brought Virginia into the national spotlight for something that wasn't necessarily positive. What would you say to some of the folks on your side of the political spectrum who seem to be so outraged at Donald Trump and personally and some of his policy positions and who seem to be ratcheting up the hostility and to your point, not allowing civility, just the basic interaction that we're used to?
Yeah, and obviously, John, there are people that are very upset by some of the things that they're seeing on both sides of the aisle.
Right.
And you know, I would look at it, you know, people have asked me, you know, what would I do in that situation? You know, I've taken care of thousands of children, sick children and their families over the years. And there are people that walk through my door probably every day that I don't agree with, that maybe I don't condone some of what they do, but I don't look at it like that. I look at it as I've got a child in front of me that I need to take care of, so I try to put that aside. And so, again, as a business owner, I think that's the approach that I would take. And now if someone is uncivil, if they were to come into my office and say things about my employees or about me and that I felt threatened, then I'd say, well, we're not going to serve them. But when someone's being civil, then I would certainly support them and do what I can as a business person to take care of their needs.
Do you think that lady at the Red Hen did the right thing?
Like I said, personally, I probably wouldn't have made that decision. I wasn't in her shoes. I think that was a case where she talked to her employees, and that's a decision that they made. So, again, people are riled up right now over some of these political issues, and they react in different ways.
All right. Real quick, let's go to one more caller before we take a break. Kevin is on the line. Kevin, you're live with Virginia's Governor Ralph Northam.
Good morning, Governor. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Kevin. I hope you are as well.
Yes, sir. Got a question for you. Has there been any thought or maybe talk of restructuring Virginia's taxes to maybe eliminate personal property tax? It sure seems I'm a transplant here. I've lived in four other states, and I've never lived in a state with personal property tax, but it seems like it's a pretty big deterrent for somebody either buying new cars, property, boats, motorcycles. It's kind of some of the general things that, feed the economy. And I was just wondering if there's any thought to maybe increasing sales tax and eliminating some of the personal property tax burdens that some families have to pay.
Kevin, I appreciate your question. And you're asking it at a very opportune time. I just met yesterday with a group of CPAs, and we were talking about tax reform. And what we're looking at now is a two-step process, Kevin. As you know, there have been changes at the federal level in the tax code, and so Virginia has to conform to those changes, and we're going to do that between now and January. And then after this session, we're going to put a commission together and look at comprehensive tax reform. So I think some good things are going to happen in Virginia, and we're going to do this so that our tax code is simpler, it's fair, It protects our AAA bond rating, and it keeps Virginia in a competitive position with other states. So a lot will be happening in the next year with tax reform.
Governor, appreciate that. 345-1140, 345-1140. If you'd like to join the conversation when we come back, we'll continue the conversation with the governor about Virginia's business status and ranking nationwide. That's when we return on Ask the Governor News Radio, WRVA. 9:35 here on this Wednesday morning, News Radio WRVA. I'm John Reed, and every month, Virginia's governor joins us here live in the studio to take your calls and hear directly from Richmonders and Central Virginians about things that are on your mind. 345-1140. 345-1140 is the number to call if you'd like to talk to Ralph Northam. And I wanted to ask you, Governor, about Virginia and our status when it comes to business nationwide. We got a little bit of good news about our ranking with what CNBC and the Forbes ranking list, but I wondered if you could expand on that and tell us if there's any new business that's on the way to the Commonwealth.
Well, it was great news, John, that we moved up to number 4 in this great country of ours. And, you know, my priority as the 73rd governor is actually very simple. It's to make sure that every Virginian has a job that they can support themselves and their families with. And so anything that I can do to drive our economy is my top priority. And so I have told everybody that, you know, it wasn't that long ago that Virginia was the number one state in this country in which to do business. And we fell off of that curve for a number of reasons. 2 years ago, we were at 13th. Last year, we were at 7th. Now we're at number 4. And if I have anything to do with it and working with our great legislators, we're going to put Virginia back in the driver's seat. And one of the ways we do that, John, is through workforce development. And we are putting a lot of focus on training our youth for 21st century jobs. We always talk about STEM. I add a couple letters, STEAM, H, but science, technology, engineering, the arts, math, and healthcare, things like cybersecurity, unmanned aerial systems, biotechnology, data collection, data analysis. These are the jobs of the 21st century. And I am convinced, because of talking to a lot of businesses that are growing in Virginia and also attracting new businesses to Virginia, that if we can train the workforce, they will come. And so we have a workforce development officer that's new in our code this year, Megan Healy. Dr. Megan Healy is doing in great work, working with the business community, communicating with our colleges and universities, really training people for these jobs. So, you know, a lot of people have talked about the possibility of Amazon coming to
that big
Virginia.
Second headquarters.
Yeah, 50,000 jobs. We have other companies, big companies that are expanding. We want to continue to promote startups and small businesses. So we think we've got a good recipe for jobs in Virginia. And again, to come from number 7 to number 4 out of 50 states, that's a big deal for Virginia. And, you know, we talk about the cost of doing business in Virginia. We just talked about tax reform with one of your listeners. Regulatory reform is very important to us. So we've got a lot of people working on this. But at the end of our term, I would really like to see Virginia back as the number one state. So that's my priority.
Yeah. Is there any news on that Amazon headquarters?
Not yet. But I would say Stay tuned. I think, you know, Virginia has put a very competitive package on the table. We don't know what Amazon's decision will be, but we certainly would encourage them and think that they would do well in the Commonwealth of Virginia.
345-1140, 345-1140, if you'd like to join the conversation with Virginia's governor. Brian is holding. Brian, you're on the air with Governor Ralph Northam.
Good morning, Governor. How are you?
I'm well, Brian. Thanks for calling in, and thanks for listening to this great show.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Proud to be a Virginian. Let me ask you something, Governor. I'm a contractor in the obviously the state of Virginia, and what I'm seeing, as well as some other contractors that I know, when it comes to Virginia state agency projects, it seems like a lot of those bids are being awarded to out-of-state contractors. Are there any measures or anything that you can think of, any incentives that could happen in order to keep, you know, Virginia state jobs that are open for bid
in Virginia with Virginia contractors?
Brian, your question is very timely as well, and this is something that is a pet peeve of mine, and I've had a lot of discussions, and a lot of it starts with the procurement, how we do bidding in Virginia. Another area that I'm sure you are well aware of is misclassification, and some of these out-of-state contractors are bringing in employees or workers that are unclassified or misclassified. They're on 1099s rather than W-2s. And so we are actually, with our employment commission, looking at that particular issue. And I agree with you, Brian. Like when we build a new school or a new bridge or road, let's use Virginia employees. You know, let's put people in Virginia to work. So it's a priority of mine. And I would just say stay involved and stay tuned, because I think you'll see us heading in a good direction on that particular issue.
One of the things.
Governor, thank you for that. I think that is something that would help us. You know, we're at number four now. I think if we did something like that, that would possibly help us move closer to being number one, like you just spoke of.
I agree with you, Brian, and we're going to keep working on it, and I appreciate your involvement.
Thanks, Brian. Listen, I wanted to ask you about the budget. When we last spoke to you, the budget was not settled, and the big sticking point was this Medicaid expansion plan, which the budget has gone through. We didn't get close to the final deadline, which could have put our bond rating in jeopardy, as you pointed out on a number of occasions. But now we're looking at how Medicaid will expand. What happens between now and January of 2019 to make sure that that happens in a responsible, meaningful way for the average Virginian?
Another timely question, John. I'm going to go meet in just a couple hours with folks at DMAS and tell them, number one, that I'm proud of the work they do for Virginia, but really encourage them to implement this expansion of health care in a way that we can be proud as Virginians. And so the timeline, it's kind of a dual track. I won't get too much into the weeds, but there's expansion of health care that we have applied for, and we anticipate being up and ready to go on January 1 of 2019, which is only a few months away. And then there's what we call the 1115 waiver, and that includes some of the work requirement that people heard a lot about during the negotiations. And so we have also put an application for that, and that will be the Secretary of Health, HHS, up in Washington that will make that decision. But hopefully, and we anticipate that will go smoothly, and so those are two dual tracks, if you will. They're not necessarily timed to each other, but we would like to see the 1115 waiver take place in January as well. But that will be up to folks in Washington.
Okay. Listen, I wanted to make sure that we touch on immigration today. It continues to be a hot button issue. You recalled some of Virginia's units that were on the southern border over President Trump's policy. I'm assuming you still think you did the right thing with that recall.
I do, John. But let me, if I can, just make a quick point about the budget. And this is a budget that was a bipartisan budget. Mm-hmm. And I just want to commend people on both sides of the aisle for coming together. These were tough negotiations, tough votes that certain individuals took. But it's a budget that really works for Virginia. And it puts more resources into higher education, more into K-12. Our teachers are getting a raise. Our law enforcement agents are getting a raise. And what's really important, I wanted to make this point, we have this opioid crisis, this addiction crisis, mm-hmm. and there's also resources for those individuals. So I would just encourage your listeners, if someone in their family or a friend, someone at work needs help in that area, we're here to help them, and we have the resources to do that. I'm going to go on the road here very soon and talk to our medical schools, talk to our residents and doctors in training, and do lectures on the importance of how we deal with both acute and chronic pain. But all of this is tied into a budget. And again, I just wanted to make the point that I wanted to commend our legislators for coming together and getting a budget that's good for Virginia, and then one that really protects our AAA bond rating. As far as immigration, you asked the question. I did make the decision to bring our helicopter and troops back from the border. John, I support the mission down there. I want to keep our borders safe, keep people that shouldn't be in this country from coming to our country. But the policy of separating children from their families as an American, as a father, as a pediatrician. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't condone it. And so that's why I made the decision that I did. And I said that I stand ready to send our troops back as soon as that policy is changed. But as long as
are they going back?
There are some. Are our folks from
Virginia going back now?
They're not going back yet because, as you know and your listeners know, there's still a number of families that are separated, and we've got to tackle that issue. And I really think Congress, at the end of the day, needs to sit down and put their politics aside and come up with comprehensive immigration reform, and it would deal with a lot of these issues that put us at the state level in very awkward positions.
Well, how long would you wait before you send folks back? I mean, what if this takes a year to reunite these families?
I'll wait as long as it takes. And
forgive me for being argumentative but even though the president has relented on his position and it sounds like is actively trying to do that reunification, you'd still hold back until every one of them is done?
And I don't know the exact number. The last I heard, there were still less than somewhere around 2,000 or less children that had been separated from their families. And again, I support the mission, John, but we cannot, as a society, I mean, anybody that has children, we cannot take children away from their families.
All right. I appreciate you answering the question. We're going to come back with more on Ask the Governor, 345-1140, if you would like to join us. We'll talk about the monuments here in Richmond when we return on News Radio WRVA. 9:51 here on this Wednesday morning. We continue our Ask the Governor program once a month. Virginia's governor joins us here in the studio and takes calls from our listeners. 345-1140, if you'd like to join the program. And right before we went to break, we were talking about immigration policy, and Tim is holding on the line, Governor Ralph Northam. Tim, go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Mr. Norcom, if I understand your policies correctly, you have supported sanctuary cities as many governors and mayors across this great nation. And my question is, how can anybody rationally do that? How is it that you can be in a position to support cities protecting illegals?
Tim,
what is the rationale behind that?
I appreciate your question and concern, and we've talked about this pretty much every time I've been on WRVA. We don't have sanctuary cities in Virginia, and if you know of one, I hope you will let me know about it. But so we don't have sanctuary cities. It's when people talk about legislation, it's, as I've said before, it's a solution, really looking for a problem. We need to continue to support our local law enforcement. That's the way we keep our streets safe. We have the Dillon Rule in Virginia, which means that we have to be consistent throughout Virginia. And as long as we have the Dillon Rule and as long as we have the legislature in place, we won't have sanctuary cities. So I know people get riled up about it and listen to the talking points on TV, but Virginia doesn't have them. And, you know, we have so many things that we need to focus on in Virginia, and to keep bringing this up and rehashing it. And I think it just confuses people and it scares people as well. And so if it ever came to the point, Tim, that a sanctuary city was formed in Virginia, again, it would have to go past the Dillon Rule. The legislature would have to intervene. But as long as I'm here, I think as long as the current legislature's here, I don't think you have to worry about a sanctuary city in Virginia. So hopefully that clarifies things, but I'm sure the discussion will go on.
345-1140, if you'd like to join the conversation today. One of the stories that we have covered pretty extensively, Governor, and that I know you are aware of here in Richmond, is this discussion about what to do, if anything, about Richmond's Monument Avenue.
And absolutely,
the Confederate generals and the president of the Confederacy there in the report just released last week. Elizabeth is holding, and she has a question about the monuments. Elizabeth, you're on the air with Ralph Northam.
Hi, Governor. So nice to talk to you. I hope you have more of these. We need so many town hall meetings to talk to you because there's so many things that have happened before you took office. Before I get to the statues, there's something much more important I want to talk to you about, and then I'll tell you about that. And that is, we have fire drills and we have, you know, tornado drills and all that, but we have no education in the elementary, starting in the elementary schools. Kindergarten through sixth would be great. as far as sexual abuse, inappropriate touch. I mean, there's no education for the children. If, you know, and a lot of times it's happening within the home. And these kids respect adults, and, you know, and then it ends up to be a snowball effect of then they become the abuser. So what I have, I'm pleased, you know, hopefully starting in September, whenever you can muster it, get education of inappropriate touch in the school system. You know, the librarian could begin it, a book for reading time could begin it. And the second thing is, I myself have been, you know, my grandson was abused, and I'm now trying, went through CPS and Henrico, and they were so sloppy, they never even had him examined. But the bottom line is, I'm trying to get in touch with the commissioner that's over the CPS, and I can't find her anywhere. I don't know how to get in touch with her.
So well, let's let the governor respond, Elizabeth. We're running out of time. Sorry.
I want to ask him, does he know how, you know, who the commissioner is, so that, you know, CPS can be put on notice for Henrico, because they are so sloppy.
Okay, Elizabeth, thank you for that. And we can certainly get that information to you if you could leave us your number. As far as the education in our schools regarding domestic violence, bullying, those types of things, we actually did introduce, and it was passed this year, a bill for the curriculum in school to focus in family life. Senator Jennifer McClellan introduced that, and so I think that you will see some improvements in that area. But I agree with we do need to educate our children and our families regarding that particular issue. So thanks for being involved, and thanks for your call.
Well, it's a serious topic, and a lot of people have been kind of up in arms over the last week about the conclusion by the Mayor's Commission on Monument Avenue that they feel that it's important to take down the statue to Jefferson Davis, who was the president of the Confederacy on Monument Avenue. It seems like, if I understand the law correctly in Virginia, that the city cannot act to do that without approval, specific approval from the Virginia General Assembly, presumably from you also. What's your reaction to the commission report, and where do we go from here?
You know, you're exactly right, John. And just, I know we're running out of time here, so I will try to be brief. But, you know, we had this incident in Charlottesville be a year ago on August the 12th, right, where we lost three lives. Heather Heyer, we lost two of our state police, Burke Bates and Jay Cullen. And that was over a statue. So it's a topic that's on a lot of folks' minds. And, you know, we, the city of Richmond formed a commission where they went out and talked to different folks, historians, et cetera, and came up with this conclusion. I really think that we need to be sensitive to the diversity of our society. We need to know that, make sure that people are welcome here in Virginia. And I think we need to tell the rest of the story and put these statues in context.
Do we take it down?
Well, that's going to be a decision that localities make. And to your point, in order for localities to make those decisions, the General Assembly will have to act. So there are a lot of things that have to happen. But I think this commission was a step in the right direction to get different people's opinions at particular localities.
To have the conversation.
And I certainly support that conversation.
Okay. I'm sure we will continue that conversation in the coming months. We really appreciate you joining us here every month, Governor Northam. And that's going to do it for Ask the Governor today and for Richmond's Morning News here on News Radio WRVA. We, of course, appreciate all the folks who called in today. And we'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning for all of your news, weather, and traffic here on Richmond's Morning News, News Radio WRVA. Have a great Wednesday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.